Let us pray. Jesus, we cannot measure how you heal or answer every sufferer's prayer. Yet we believe your gospel responds where faith and doubt unite to care. Amen. Please be seated. Well, our readings this morning draw our attention to the experience of transformation. We hear of Jesus, Paul, and others engaging in transformative acts of hospitality, compassion, and healing. From the book of Acts, we heard the story of Lydia from Thyatira, who was living in Philippi when she met Paul on his second missionary journey. Thyatira was famous for one thing. It was famous for purple cloth. It was a center of the indigo trade. And Lydia had apparently moved to Philippi to ply her trade from that city. The account tells us that Lydia was gathered with a group of other Jewish women on the Sabbath at a place of prayer near a river outside Philippi. Apparently, there was no synagogue, and in such instances, worshipers would typically gather under trees or by rivers to conduct worship. This group of worshipers, interestingly, was entirely composed of women. Well, Paul joined their group, proclaiming the good news of Jesus. And we hear that God opened Lydia's heart to what Paul was saying, and she asked to be baptized on the spot. Subsequently, Lydia, along with her household, were all baptized by Paul and his companions in that river. Immediately in response to her baptism, Lydia engaged in a very radical act of hospitality. She invited the strangers, men, Paul and his disciples, to stay at her home. Now, in those times, Jewish women did not interact in such a bold fashion with men. And Luke described her invitation with the words, quote, "She prevailed upon us." The simple phrase shows that there was some fervency in her invitation of hospitality. Her act of welcome was one of extending her love beyond her family and friends, extending it to a strange group of men who were in need of shelter and food. This one act symbolizes the transformation brought about by her baptism, by any baptism. From a life of self-centeredness to one of community-centeredness, Lydia was transformed by this encounter with Paul. And immediately her relationship to the outside world changed. Jesus' love does heal. Lydia's conversion marked the start of a new epoch in the spread of Christianity. Up to that point, the gospel had not gone further west than Asia Minor. And in fact, on this journey, Paul's original intent had been to stay in Asia. But as we hear, he listened and the Lord sent him. The Lord sent him westward across the Aegean Sea into Macedonia. Now, while Lydia's transformation can seem that it occurred rather suddenly, I think we all know change doesn't come about so easily. And our gospel reading gets to the truth of this challenge. The focus of the gospel reading is a man who is disabled. He was unable to walk. And we hear that he had been ill with this crippling disease for 38 years. He came to the pool of Bethesda to be healed. This place of healing was sought out by pagans, not by Jews. And this shows that Jesus, even in this early point of his ministry, was reaching out beyond the Jewish population with his good news. Now, there was a belief about this pool that needs to be explained. And it was that once the waters were stirred up by someone, perhaps a pagan priest, the first person who entered the waters would be healed. Well, we hear that this crippled man had no one to place him in the pool, and he went through life perhaps shunned as part of his disability. During these long years, one can imagine he probably went to this pool before. He begged to be put in for someone to dip him in the healing waters. But as he said, someone always got there before him. 38 years. It's a long time to suffer. I think we can imagine, though, that in this time, 38 years, suffering had become part of the normal life of this man. Now, I can imagine when Jesus came onto this place, as we hear from other accounts, he probably went from person to person, offering a gentle touch or a word of encouragement. So it may have seemed surprising that when Jesus approached the man, he didn't just heal him. He asked him, "Do you want to be made well?" You might wonder, why would Jesus ask such a question? Wouldn't the answer be obvious? Yes? Well, maybe not. Consider this story as a metaphor for life. All of us, like the man who lived with his disability for 38 years, can become rooted in and comfortable with what has become status quo in our lives, even if that status quo is something less than ideal. We can also sink into the depths of despair and reject any notion of change being possible. I think we all know change can be daunting. Every change that we make may lead to something good, but maybe not. It can be hard to take a risk. Change is a force that many of us, in fact, I think most of us, resist at some times in our lives. I'm sure you've heard about a person who's been hospitalized for a long time, or maybe even someone who has served a long sentence in prison, who on the prospect of release was reluctant to leave. In some cases, they may even do something to be readmitted or reincarcerated. Certainly, it's doubtful that their surroundings were so pleasant that one would want to return. There might have been some secondary benefits to being disabled or being incarcerated. I guess one can be crippled at times by overdependency. But I don't think we have to go to such dramatic lengths to appreciate the difficulty of accepting change. In each of our lives, we have had to endure changes that were not easy to accept. Choosing a path that leads to radical change in one's life can be scary, even if the status quo isn't all that great. And changing often involves taking a leap of faith. Even if the path to a better life will only come about by taking a risk, by letting go of the familiar, it can be hard. In today's gospel, Jesus asks the man if he's prepared and willing to take a leap of faith, to be transformed, and to accept the challenges that will come with it. Jesus wanted the disabled man to understand and commit to the change he was seeking. By asking him if he wanted to be made well, Jesus was inviting the man to change. However, I think this invitation was more than just a polite request. It was a challenge. To be healed, as I said earlier, would require him to give up all that had been familiar to him in his life for 38 years. This healing would transform him, not only physically, but spiritually as well. And his relationship with others would change. His relationship with his inner self would change. Life would never be the same again, because Jesus' love heals. I'm going to tell you a brief story from Canada. There was a banker by the name of Tom. He had everything in life one could imagine. He had a great job, plenty of money, a nice house, a wonderful family. But for Tom, something was missing in his life. He'd wake up in the middle of the night and find himself sobbing at the emptiness he felt inside. Around this time, his bank formed a relationship with a place called Sanctuary in Toronto. Sanctuary was a church and mission, and they asked Tom to be their representative to serve on the board of Sanctuary. Well, Tom went there feeling a little self-conscious. He went there at mealtime, and there were a bunch of men sitting down and having a meal, and Tom kind of stood back and just kind of observed it. When all of a sudden, one of the men, Phil, said, "Oh, come on, sit down with us. You're just as hungry as any of us are." Well, Tom took that step. He stepped out of his comfort zone and he sat down with these men. And much to his surprise, Tom found he had much in common with them and he enjoyed his time with them. He enjoyed it so much that he started going to Sanctuary on a weekly basis, not as a director of the bank, but as someone who felt drawn in by some change and transformation he felt was taking place in him. Soon enough, Tom invited his family to go with him. And his family became regular members of this congregation, and they all felt lightened and transformed. Now, the fellow who had invited him to sit down, Phil had had a pretty good life, but it was a bit of a lonely life. He took care of his mother. He had a good job. When his mom passed on, his luck seemed to turn. His business folded up. He lost his house. He ended up living on the street. In fact, on cold nights, he would often try and sleep in one of the ATM booths of Tom's bank to keep warm. Phil found Sanctuary. He started going there for meals, but what he found there was something else. He found a community that accepted him and loved him, something he had not felt for some time. Phil also found a new occupation. You see, Phil was very good as an artist, and they employed him to start teaching kids how to draw, how to paint, and he found fulfillment. And you know, Tom and Phil, from two very opposite ends of life, found best friends in each other. And they found a transformative community where Jesus' love abounded. And they both were healed. Jesus' love does have the power to heal. Well, you know, we have a decision to make too. Like Tom, Phil, like Lydia, like the crippled man, we need to make a decision that requires that we change. To follow Jesus, we need to let go and turn our lives over to him. We must choose to give up some of the control we presume to have over our lives. You know, when the apostles chose to heed Jesus' call, they had to give up the ordinary, the status quo of their lives, and accept lives of radical change. Think of those changes the apostles made in their lives to follow Jesus. They left behind jobs, family, friends, and home to follow him. And we do know that many of them experienced periods of doubt and regret. However, the transforming love of God overcame all their resistance. Jesus' love heals. Jesus comes to each of us in our places of despair, withdrawal, and resistance. He comes to us in the places in which we are stuck by fear and weakness and suffering. He comes to each one of us at some time in our life and asks us, "Do you want to be healed?" In those moments, what is your answer? I can't answer it for you, but I can tell you to remember that Jesus' love has the power to heal any suffering soul. Amen.